Alyssa.
Hey, Susan.
Now's the part where we pretend like we haven't been hanging out for the past hour.
Or talking.
Yes. Who are you? What are these dogs and cats and snacks that are in front of me?
Oh, so many dogs and cats and snacks.
Yes. Plot twist, there's an additional dog in this house.
Yep, there is.
Yes.
Yep.
What else do you have for us that was a fun surprise?
Well, before we get to that,
yes,
we should discuss the fact that your name has changed, Susan.
I did get married since last time.
Hooray,
yes.
Congratulations.
Hooray. Yes.
We did drink some scotch before in
thank goodness, in the back room.
Yes. Yes, thank God we did.
Yes. My blood alcohol level was scientifically proven to be too low until then. Yeah.
It was good. It was a good time.
One generous portion of scotch is exactly what you need before you get married.
That's so true. It should be a rule.
It's a rule before big decisions. Have a portion and a half of single malt scotch.
Yay, Susan.
Yay.
It's now whiskey glasses with Melissa Bunnell and Susan Warren.
Yes.
Hooray.
Elizabeth Warren, but Susan Warren.
So we tend to have some Scottish treats here. So we're pairing our scotch today with Campbell's Salted Caramel Scottish Fudge, which is actually a tablet.
It's a fancier name for fudge from Scotland.
And it's not really fudge. It's more like sugar with enough milk to melt it down and reform it into a big sugary block.
Yeah, sugar and condensed milk.
Yep.
Sweetened condensed milk. And magic and
more
caramel.
Sugar, which is more sugar, like syrup,
yes,
right? Milk syrup.
Milk syrup.
So, because I always have little facts about
everything.
Yes, please
tell me.
According to the Scots Kitchen, tablet is first noted in the household book of Lady Grizel Bally in the early 18th century. Our tour guide through Scotland made sure that we tried tablet. I actually bought some at Rosalind Chapel.
Oh.
And I almost broke my teeth on it. But apparently that's how you know it's good.
It's an activity and a snack. I love it.
Yeah. And it has post activities like go to the dentist.
Yes. Yes, for bonus points. Replace a crown.
Awesome. But it pairs really well with... Susan, what are we drinking today?
Yes, actually, there are notes of toffee in this. We are drinking, first up, is Auchentoshan, which I made sure I checked a pronunciation guide. There's a little cute little video from this distillery about this. So this is Auchentoshan, Auchentoshan, as the pronunciation guide has told me. And this is American oak. What's your initial reaction? You actually bought me this, didn't you?
This is like my favorite under $40. I have always loved this scotch, and I tried it just because I was like, that's a cool name.
Yeah.
But I did try it. It's got just enough sweet. There's really not a bite to it.
Yeah.
But it just ends so nice. It's like a pleasant scotch that won't make you cough when you first take a sip.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
This is not an expert level scotch, which is nice. Because, I mean, isn't life hard enough without trying to deal with, like, really complicated scotches that aren't pleasant at first? And you have to...
I have 5 rescue pets.
Yeah, you have too many dogs for a complicated scotch.
Pretty much any scotch is kind of welcome.
True. So,
but well, I agree.
Yes.
Life is complicated. And this scotch is not.
Yes. So let me tell you a little bit about what it tastes like. Like, to keep the box, I love to read what's on the box, like the designs on the box.
I keep all my boxes.
So, I love the way this is written. To the eye, bright gold. To the nose, bourbon, vanilla, coconut with layers of zesty citrus fruit. So, it pairs well perfectly with tablet.
With tablet. I'm going to take a bite now.
Yes.
I'm going to hurt my teeth.
No, you're not. It's very malleable.
Oh.
It's very fudge-like.
Mm, okay.
To the tongue, refreshingly smooth with vanilla cream, coconut, and white peach. Okay, someone said there was toffee. I'm standing by my toffee claim. To the end, crisp with sugared grapefruit and a hint of spice. And finally, a fun fact, Auchentoshan, translated from the Gaelic, means corner of the field, which I guess is representative of where Auchentoshan is in the hills outside of Glasgow, which is one of the few major distilleries that's been around for a while over in that little area of Scotland, which we unfortunately did not get to explore, but all the more reason to return soon.
We have to go soon.
Yes. Well,
I agree.
Step one, make this podcast go big. Everyone share with all your friends so we can have Lagavulin or any other scotch. We are not picky.
While we're on that, we should mention that we would welcome any sponsorship review.
Or review.
Be kind. Yes. Because this episode, well, actually, this episode's going to be so much better because I learned how to do intro music. So yes. Watch out.
Yes.
But the first three, I had no experience with Audacity. And it turns out we weren't even really using the microphone that I bought for $20. We plugged it in, but it wasn't actually on. So now it is.
Yes.
But aside from that, like, any reviews would be really nice. That'd be cool.
Particularly after this episode.
Yes. Because this one's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's good.
If you have constructive feedback, just email us. Don't put that in the review.
Shoot, I have to remember what the email is now.
Oh, no! We'll put it in the show notes. Don't worry. Problem solved. That's what all the professional podcasters do. It's like, oh, we'll put that in the footnotes.
Excellent. But we are on Instagram. We're the Whiskey Glasses. You can look us up on Twitter, although I don't really tweet a lot. I feel like it's a dead medium, but people like it still, so I feel like I have to do it.
We can probably connect Instagram to Twitter.
It's connected to my Facebook, so sometimes it just puts a weird link there, but no picture.
Oh, you got to do the if this, then that thing. I'll show you later.
Oh, nice. So. Okay. And we do things on Facebook, so you can totally say things about our podcast on Facebook.
Yes.
But if they're mean, I'm going to delete them.
So, I mean, like everyone, that's constructive feedback is welcome.
If it's bad, but you're pleasant about it,
yes.
I'll let it fly.
Yes. Let me just go ahead and say it now so no one has to. Yes, I know I'm a millennial with vocal fry. I am aware, and I'm working on it, and also I'm the future, so suck it.
Good job, Susan Warren.
Yes.
You're married now, so you can say things like that. Because
I was not saying them before. That's so much of a filter, especially after alcohol. I have to tell you more about the scotch.
Okay, yes, please.
Okay, so check this out. This is triple distilled. Unlike other places, just double distilled. So check it. Most time, double distilled scotches come in at 70% ABV. This is hitting the mark after the triple distillation at 81% ABV. What?
What is ABV?
Alcohol by volume. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good job, Susan.
I memorized numbers for this episode. I also read a book that inadvertently helped me prepare for this episode, but that's more to come later.
Excellent.
So yeah, triple distilled. So that actually helps it age faster. And I like Auchentoshan's approach because they are really big into not obsessing over years like it's a badge of honor, because when it's triple distilled, things progress a lot faster inside the barrels. And so it's all about enjoying the experience afterwards, whether it takes 12 years or 5 years or 20. They just want to make an enjoyable, delicious scotch. So I really appreciate that attitude.
Well, whatever they're doing is working.
Yes.
Honestly, it really is. It's funny because when your sister-in-law was at your house, it was your sister-in-law, right?
Yeah, I mean, Melissa, set up a scotch tasting for her.
I did a little scotch tasting, a blind one, and she actually, her favorite, even though there was like a Kalila 12-year distiller's edition and something else that was pretty amazing, she actually really liked this one. So it's like a perfect beginner scotch. But it's still got some layers to it.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's really good.
It's for everyone that wants to try scotch. And I think this is more approachable for a bourbon lover.
I think so, too. You're right. Because there's not, there's no smoke in it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for us. Because we do a lot of, we favor the Islay scotches, which are smoky.
Not for everyone. And that's fine.
It's true.
But yeah, big fan of this. They have a few other, you know, sort of special editions. This is American Oak, but they also have the 12-year and a few other sort of core varieties in addition to the special editions that you can get. And you mentioned that it's at a great price point, very accessible.
And they sell it in North Carolina.
Yes.
Yay!
Yes.
Because with the other 8 scotches, that's very exciting.
Well, I did finally bite the bullet. Well, of course, I mean, plot twist, I'm getting you scotch for Christmas. In addition to your scotch-related Christmas/birthday gift, I had to go ahead and just pick up a bunch of tasters from Master of Malt.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which, please sponsor us, Master of Malt. We love you. Or anyone else.
We so do. I use their reviews all the time. And check it out. All my tasting notes are always from Master of Malt.
Yeah.
And I won that bottle from Master of Malt. So, we're friends. I haven't.
They don't know it yet. Or maybe they do.
Well,
we're gonna
reach out. I tried to really blow up my Instagram, which has, 300 followers. So,
Anyway, so this distiller was, like I said, founded in Glasgow in 1823. Just a really nice scotch. I'm a big fan. I think something I want, this is farther along, I would like to experiment with trying a cocktail that is built off of scotch. Just because, I mean, yes, it's high and holy and wonderful, and we love scotch neat with just some form of water in its various states, but I think it's always good to... Nothing is so special that it can't be experimented with, so I'm willing to try.
Agree. And this is a good one, too, because it doesn't have, like, 12 different flavors to it. It's pretty basic, which means it's not going to clash with a whole lot, like...
No.
There's not, like, one note that's going to clash with everything.
Yeah. So, there's a great video if you YouTube Auchentoshan. There's a very handsome Scottish gentleman explaining... Make a cocktail with some muddled figs and some star anise and a little bit of, like, grapefruit, I think, maybe. And you can just kind of go nuts and then shake it up with some ice. And I was like, oh, now I want this.
Yeah, so, that kind of sounds nice. Maybe we'll do an episode where we do cocktails.
Ooh,
well,
a theme.
Like, two different ones. Like,
yeah.
Not we'll bring 1,000 cocktails.
No, we'll bring, like, two.
Yeah.
Two cocktails. We'll bring it. We'll each bring a cocktail.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
Hooray.
Okay.
Okay. Let's all have a Auchentoshan. But yeah, I'm just a big fan.
I love this one.
Very good.
Good choice, Susan. That was a good start.
Excellent.
High five. Okay. So, I was recently in New Jersey, which is where I found my new dog on the highway.
Well, not in New Jersey.
Or on the way. I found him in North Carolina, running in the highway, which is how he joined our home.
Also,
I'm my dog, Snoots, who is my first dog, is... Right in the microphone, you probably hear her snoot sniffing.
That's part of our homespun's charm.
Well, yeah. We have lots of animals here.
I have to tell you that I was wondering if you wanted to pause it while we poured, but you thought I was giving you a high five and it didn't really work out.
Also, but, I can't pour now because I have a dog on my lap who's licking me.
Snoots is not really...
No.
Snoots, you're a terrible bartender.
She's...
you're the opposite of a bartender.
You have no thumbs. Okay. All right. Actually, I didn't even open this bottle yet,
Well, now we'll get the delightful audio of
We're going to get this. The audio of cracking the bottle. That's awesome. Okay, so...
Oh, look, there's another cat in here.
Yeah, that's Fluff.
Fluff also has an Instagram. You should follow Fluff.
Fluff's Instagram. You can follow Fluff at Some Call Me Fluff on Instagram. She recently just blew up Italy because overnight she got 80 followers from Italy. I don't know if she got mentioned on, like, a blog or something.
It must have been some aggregator that...
Some high roller because, like, the people following her had, like, 300,000 followers. Real people were following my cat Fluff. And she's amazing.
She's gorgeous. My mom was like, is that Melissa's real cat? I'm like, she's not going to a studio to shoot someone else's cat in a studio house. Like,
can I borrow your cat for my Instagram?
Yeah, I just need to come in once a week and take several pictures.
That's my cat, Fluff. Yeah, we got a full house here. Okay, I am so excited about this scotch because when it came out, I remember being like, I want that. And they put out really good commercials.
Yeah.
This is the Ardbeg Anno. Their little commercial is where they talk and they're like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I know. And he's like, and then they realize I know is really not I know. It's like a scotch from Ardbeg. And they all go,
running. First.
And there's a fishmonger carrying fish.
Oh.
And he goes running down the street with the shopping lady.
We have
and
to link to this commercial in the notes now. You know
I totally
that, right?
will.
Okay.
Absolutely. I love that it's got like a play on words. I also love that it's like kind of smartass. But I'm going to pour it and then I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
And then we can talk about, like, if it's any good, because I actually haven't tried this yet.
What if we both really dislike it? One of these days is going to happen.
One of these days we're going to not like a scotch. Which
and we're going to be like, this is interesting.
I was thinking about that we have not disliked one yet.
Yeah, I came close last time.
With the Glenmorangie.
Yeah.
I remember you were kind of like on the fence about it.
Yeah, if you hear me in my high-pitched voice, that's me trying to feign interest.
Trying to pretend I like it. I think we're at a point where it's okay
it's
if
okay.
you don't like one.
Not
like,
everything is for everybody.
So granted, everything we've tried,
it's because we owned it.
We owned it and we already tried it.
Yeah.
Although the Glenmorangie I had not tried until that night because I think I purchased it the day before.
Yes.
And it just happened to not be a scotch night, which is crazy, but I think I was already drinking wine that night, so that's why.
Yes.
Okay, so Ardbeg Anno bottling notes, and this is from Master Malt. Anno is named after the how am I going to say that now?
I don't know. I don't know if you're sure what you're trying to say.
Okay, Mull of No in the southwest of Islay, which offers the Kildintin coast, where Ardbeg Distillery is situated, some protection from the worst the Atlantic has to offer. As such, Anno is intended to show a more approachable side to Ardbeg single malt that's as rounded as the No Peninsular without losing the characteristic distillery style. In the summer of 2017, this became the first addition to Ardbeg's core range in over a decade. So they mature it in casks, but it's sort of like a combination of casks, which are the sherry, mm-hmm. the charred virgin oak, and then the ex-bourbon. So there's like a mix. They kind of marry it all together in nice. The gathering vat, they say.
Yes, that marriage I understand.
And that gathering vat is owned by Dr. Mill Lumsden. They actually wrote that in there. I feel like it's probably important.
It's important. Dr. Lumsden, thank you for your work.
Thank you, Dr. Bill. Okay.
Oh, Dr. Bill, that's more approachable.
So, I guess, let's... Have you tried it?
Have I tried it?
Do you know what? Everything I read about it, they're like, this is a dead ringer. Like, you can't mistake it for... You know it's an Ardbeg. Like,
oh, yeah.
It has the signature style.
Yeah, towards the end, you're just like, okay, welcome to P10.
But I'm getting the charred verg, like, on the aroma. Totally, I'm getting fire, which mm-hmm. is that charred oak. Probably other stuff, but to be honest, I had such a busy week. I'm going to go straight into drinking.
Well, yeah.
And I skip mean, the aroma. I'm just going to read the notes.
You smelled it. You did.
I did. I smelled it.
I didn't smell it before I drank it, so it's fine.
Okay, good.
We're not professionals.
Why smell it
here?
When you can drink? Some weeks you just need to go straight to the drink.
Yeah.
And that's this week.
And you can smell it after you drink.
When you have 5 rescue animals in one house. Hmm. That's pretty cool. That's the worst thing you can say. Like, that is so unprofessional. Yeah. And thank God I'm not a professional, but...
Well, you are.
I think if you say that, you don't deserve to have a Scotch show. Well, so, I want to take that back,
no,
but...
it's your initial reaction. You can flesh it out more.
Okay. I almost get the garlic mm-hmm. grass from, like, remember the Weems that we had?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm definitely getting, like, fresh grass.
I'm getting savory vibes all day on this.
A little bit of citrus. It's definitely sweet. But I'm totally getting grass.
Yeah.
And I'm going to laugh because probably the tasty notes say nothing about grass.
It's going to be like...
it's going to be like...
It's like a pepperoni pizza.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read the Master of Malt.
Okay, and let's find out how wrong we are.
The tasty note by the chaps at Master of Malt. Because honestly, they are dead on. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Like, this sweet, creamy Ardbeg offers notes of butterscotch, fennel seed. Maybe that's
Maybe
the grass.
Maybe it's the fennel.
I'm going with the fennel. Tobacco leaf... Honey nut clusters. I was not ready for
like
that.
I was like, it's very sweet. And I was like, I'm getting savory vibes here.
And hints of mixed boiled sweets. Fruit, Everton mint, and menthol. I'm going to get the menthol. Because mm-hmm. you definitely get like that chill in your mouth when mm-hmm. you're trying it. The citrus notes are subtle and rich, coming through as flourless orange cake. Which I've never had, but I'm going to trust them.
Well, you know how you can find out about it. Watch my favorite show ever, The Great British Bake Off.
Doing that.
Yes. They make a lot of interesting British
Which,
cakes.
Just so everyone knows, we also have Scotty-shaped
Walker
shortbread.
Yes.
Some little biscuits. Scotties. Just, I bet, because this is sweet, that's what I'm going to pair it with.
Okay.
I didn't even know, and I paired it correctly with the tablet and the
well,
shortbread.
Well, tablet you usually can't get wrong with, because most of these things have toffee nuts. You can get away with saying
Marshall's has the best... gourmet food selection.
And that end cap, right, as you're waiting to go in line?
Well, this is like, this has its own aisle. Oh. And seriously, you have to like knock people out of the way to get in that aisle because that's where all the good stuff is.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, that was the nose.
Yes. Okay.
Palate. Still plenty of peat oomph. Mm-hmm. Although perhaps lighter in body, and I totally agree with that. It is much lighter. Notes of cigars and golden syrup flapjacks. Not getting the pancakes.
Nope.
But let me try it again, and I'll see. With sweet black tea on the tail and hints of chocolate limes. Finish, smoky treacle lingers with a little peanut brittle.
Maybe. Try a drop of water in it.
Am I, like, a big idiot? Because I'm getting something totally different.
No, I think you're having a unique experience that we're trying to celebrate here.
All right, let's put a little...
Yeah, the water opens it up.
Okay.
It usually
did
does.
You need water?
No, I already did my water.
All right.
Steps ahead of you over here.
Okay. All right, it totally sweetened it now.
It did. Yeah,
like,
that's why
a
I was...
lot. It,
like,
it took away all the savory. It went straight to sweet.
I was getting like a deli until I added the water.
I was thinking garlic grass. Who eats garlic grass?
I don't know.
But you know what? The little splash of water, I'm getting the dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. I'm getting the cigar, absolutely.
Yes.
And I can almost taste flapjacks.
I'm not with you on the flapjacks yet.
I might just, hold on, let me try one more sip. I'm going to try to find the flapjacks. They're in there, I know it.
Don't look that up on Urban Dictionary.
Master Malt has not let me down.
I'm sorry, I'm saying no to this.
Yeah, I don't get the flapjacks either. Okay, but I do get all the other stuff now with the water. So
yes. You
know what? Sprinkle a little water in here.
Yes.
But to be quite honest, this is a kind of surprising nice version of Ardbeg, mm-hmm. because I think the regular Ardbeg, and I've had, like, the Ugadal, and I've had the Korvekian, mm-hmm. and we had alligator.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm so excited, because you cannot get alligator at all.
But yeah, this is different, for sure.
And honestly, because it is lighter, it's not, I feel like regular Ardbeg can be so rough when you first drink it. Like, you almost have to drink enough to, like, numb you to it to make it good.
And the first sip is not good.
I know lots of people that love it because it's rough, but it feels like this bypasses some of that for me. It makes it way more friendly.
It is kind of Ardbeg light.
But you can totally tell it's an Ardbeg.
Yes, the smokiness is...
I really like this.
Good.
I'm excited. Okay, so, yeah, we were in New Jersey for Thanksgiving, and I hit a liquor store because they're not state-owned in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You can have, like, discount liquor stores, and they have so much more stuff.
Yeah.
So, this was one of the three. The other two we'll probably try in the next show. And I've tried the other two. I saved this one. I was really excited for it because it got so much play over the summer. Like, when it came out, everyone, mm-hmm. like, it made a splash, and I was really excited to try it. So, Susan, do you have a story for us?
I do have a story.
Yay!
First, I have to give this dog one more treat.
Okay. She's a little bit of a crybaby today.
Yeah, it's okay. It adds, again, that homespun charm.
It's because of the new dog. They're not friends yet.
Not quite. Anyway, so I was going to do something around Thanksgiving, like famous. Obviously, there's no American Thanksgiving in Scotland. But I was going to do something around famous feasts, but I might save that one for Christmas. But I did realize, since the last podcast, we had Guy Fawkes Day. And I have to recommend this book series. If you guys like historical fiction, which I feel like if you like scotch, you probably might
you like probably historical fiction. Like, you're one of those worldly people.
Yeah, really exceptional
super
people
classy.
Like us.
Totally.
You're the best, like us. So, it's three books by Ken Follett. It's set in basically just, like, the British Isles in Western Europe. The first one starts in about...
The dog... Suits wants to try some tablet.
Yeah, I don't think that's good for a dog. That's a little too sugary.
How about we'll give you another cookie?
I understand.
It is a dog-shaped.
It is.
Shortbread, it's perfect for snoots.
Yes. Okay. The first one starts off in, I think, the 1200s, 1300s. That first one was called Pillars of the Earth. The next one takes place, like, a little bit later. It centers around a big, like, monastic situation with... It's all set in the, I believe, fictional city of Kingsbridge. That's called World Without End, but this last one is a Column of Fire, and it's all about the Reformation. And it's nice because you don't have to... It's not a true trilogy in the sense you have to know the plots of the previous books to enjoy it. So it totally stands alone.
Which is first set is not the same, because I read whatever that first one was, and now I'm Winter of the Worlds.
Oh!
And I forgot who all the people are in the first one, so I actually... I don't even know what to do with it. Like, do I invest the time and reread the first one?
No, I would read Wikipedia.
Oh,
and jump
good.
Back in.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I keep trying to read it, and I'm like, whose kids are these?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, where do they live?
That's the Century Trilogy.
Where's the Russians?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And I kind of zoned out on some of the... Because, like, I'm not really excited about the Cold War, and I kind of zoned out at the third book, but anyway.
It got me really into the first one, which is why I read it. And then I immediately went and bought the second one, but I didn't immediately read the second one. And now I'm just lost again.
It's okay. Wikipedia will help.
Okay. Awesome.
This last one, the last chapter of this book, is centered... The main character in this one, this is one of the few books of his that actually has some stuff written from a first-person narrative.
Okay.
Centers around this guy who is sort of like the right-hand man to Queen Elizabeth, but really the main point of the book is about just all the upheaval that's going on during the Reformation. So, without just fully telling you the whole plot of the book, let me jump to the last part, which was about Guy Fawkes, which is the gunpowder plot. There's a little saying, you know, the remember the... of the November.
Yep.
So basically, Guy Fawkes was this sort of like middle class British dude. And I promise this relates to Scotland, don't worry.
Okay.
So, yes. What if I was like, I forgot to put Scotland in?
You have to bring a Scottish story.
Yes. Well, during the Reformation, the fate of Scotland and England were irrevocably tied because during Guy Fawkes' lifetime, so Mary, Queen of Scots, she was one of the last queens of Scotland. She, of course, was executed for treason. She was Catholic. Scotland was going Protestant. And, you know, she just had a rough life.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time to, you know, just bad luck.
But that show Rain is awesome.
Oh, so good.
I know.
Yes. And lots of really attractive people are on there.
So many.
So many people to look at. But yeah, so that's a good resource for Mary Queen of Scots. Obviously, they take a lot of license, but you do get a good feeling for the era. It's the right spirit. So James, I believe he's James the First and also James the something else, because he was king of both Scotland and England. So after Mary Queen of Scots, she's executed, James becomes the de facto ruler of Scotland. He's put under a regency because he was very young at the time. And then when Queen Elizabeth dies, she has no heir, obviously, plot twist, she didn't have any kids. She continues onward, passes away, and yes, please. And James is put in charge because royal lineage works. There's some kind of really, now I'm blanking on the phrase, but it means it's like something primogeniture. That's not the right word, that's embarrassing, whatever. It's like the way the royal family works. Anyway.
Okay.
James the First, he's totally the king. And he's like, yeah, guys, I'm totally down for peace within our time. Let's not fight and totally relive, like, all the drama that's going on in France and Germany. Let's be cool. I'm Protestant, but I'm not going to be mean to Catholics. Don't worry. And the Pope's like, sweet, this is great, excellent. And then he becomes king, like, legit king of England when Elizabeth finally passes away. His wife, Anne of Denmark, is like, actually, plot twist. I'm going to stop saying plot twist. I'm annoying myself with it.
But it fits. It's okay.
Yeah.
Also, I learned how to use Audacity, so I can cut out anything we want now.
Maybe remove.
We're
going to
sound so smooth.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to leave it in now just to, like, prove that I'm not complicating
things. I expect to have my voice replaced with that of, like, James Lipton from Inside the Actor's Studio by the time you're done.
That's awesome.
A bridge too far. So
we'd have to talk about more intriguing things, apparently.
Or we'd have to get really inside your method for Scotch taste.
It's true.
Yes. So he's basically like, yeah, we got to be Protestant. I'm going to really crack the whip, even though my wife is Catholic. I'm kind of be a jerk about it. So, of course, in every power struggle, the people that were out of power, the Catholic nobility, were not super pleased about this. And they were like, actually, we think we're better than the Scots. So, actually, let's have a rebellion and try to kill the king and all of his older descendants and kidnap his youngest daughter. So we can basically train her up in our Catholic ways, and some random Catholic noble will take the regency, and then our little puppet queen will go forth, and everything will be awesome. So that was Guy Fawkes's plan. He was like a soldier, you know, sort of the merchant class. He got recruited by some co-conspirators, and the book is one of the fictional characters. A priest is one of his co-conspirators, and what they do is they rent out a space underneath Parliament, which seems like a huge security flaw.
Scottish Parliament.
No, English
Parliament. English Parliament.
English
okay.
Parliament. So, okay. Scottish James is ruling England and Scotland from England. So, he's
like,
both.
What's that when you have two nationalities? Like,
by...
You know, like, if you're dual...
Dual kinging.
Dual...
citizenship.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Totally.
Well, he was dual king.
He was dual kinging.
Yes, which is a...
That's a thing.
That's totally a thing.
Okay.
So... Anyway, so James is like, yeah, I'm trying to be king, I got a sweet brogue, but apparently he also had a lisp, and people made fun of him for it, and people thought he was gay, but whatever, we don't know.
Sort of like that movie they made, with the king that had a stutter.
Oh, The King's Speech, that was such a delightful movie.
Did he overcome it just like the king in The King's Speech?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, they didn't have speech pathologists in the 1600s, unfortunately.
Damn it, James. Wrong place, wrong time.
But he did put out the Bible, which he named after himself.
Oh, okay.
That was him, so that was cool.
He did something.
Yeah, because that was what...
Because it doesn't matter if you have a lisp as if you're writing.
Exactly.
Totally.
Unless you write in the lisp into the Bible.
So I bet the lisp made him realize his other talents. He developed, like, you know, when you overdevelop a different talent
yes.
because you have a downfall?
His was supporting publishing, basically.
I like it.
Well, that's what the Protestants were all about.
Okay.
Because, I mean, obviously, they had to protest something, so they were not into what the Catholics were doing. They were having too much fancy stuff going on. There's too much corruption in the priesthood.
Money flying everywhere.
Money, yeah. It was not a good vibe at that point.
No.
And I read a really good article talking about how, like, all the reforms that the Protestants really wanted the Catholic Church to take, ultimately they pretty much did. And, you know, it all kind of worked out in the end. you know, today. Now that
After a lot of people died and stuff.
A lot of people died, a lot of people got molested, things were not the best for a while, but now we love new Pope, right?
Or Vic Fan. We do. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's kind of the best.
I know. And I'm not Catholic, but I really like him.
Yeah, me either.
It's not enough to turn me Catholic, but
no,
I'm super down with it.
No, I mean, yes. Exactly. Fun fact, all of this is building to the fact that ultimately the faith of the British Isles affected why people left England and Scotland and all these other places to come and settle in the New World. So, it kind of determined the fate of America, really. Like, if the Gunpowder Plot went the other way, things could be totally different right now. Like, we could actually be nuns right this second. That's probably what would have happened.
I would be such a bad nun.
God, I would be the worst nun.
Can nuns drink scotch?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, probably. Yes. Just call it something holy, like wine.
Yeah.
Wine is we'll start a the sect. Blood of Christ.
So. I start a sect that believes that scotch is like the extra holy stuff.
It's the water of life. That sounds holy to
that
me.
That is, yeah. I mean, I could almost say that in Latin, maybe. I don't know.
I believe that lots of people have a religious experience when they drink scotch. Probably a lot of scotch, but still, it's there.
It's there. Anyway, so continuing back to James, they're not pleased. They're like, yeah, we gotta do something. This is getting old. We're not liking these vibes. So Guy Fawkes goes by the name, this is seriously his pseudonym, John Johnson. Like, he may as well be named, like, John Doe.
It sounds like someone who's, like, starring on Baywatch.
Yeah, John Johnson.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah, even in the book, they're like, could you have picked a less obvious, like, fake name?
Fake Fakerson.
Yes. Jimmy McFakepants. From the Isle of Loudenbaden.
Figgy Town.
Yes, Figgy Town. Yes. So.
Extremely subtle.
Yes.
Good job.
Good job.
Seuss is like, I don't believe in that.
Yes, I'm not done with this. So what they do is they rent out an apartment underneath the parliament that basically was used as storage, and they pretend like they're just stacking up some firewood and just doing something totally above board. But it turns out they're actually digging a tunnel so that they can move gunpowder in there and blow up parliament. It would have been one of the first major like explosive terrorist events in the Western world if it had gone according to plan. Unfortunately, word got out because, you know, if you're moving gunpowder and you get multiple people involved, that's the way that it goes. And
yeah, someone always finds out. You can't hide that. Also, tunnel building never really works.
No.
Like, someone knows you're digging a hole. Like, they notice that.
Only in the Shawshank Redemption does that work.
That's so true.
Yes.
And it's really because he went through the septic system.
Yeah.
And no one wants to go near that.
Which is a sacrifice no one wants to make.
Mm-mm.
So they set that up, and then they basically find it out, they go through, the king's guards looking through it, and they're like, wait, why is there so much firewood? Why would you need to store firewood in your apartment? This doesn't make any sense. Let's look around.
Also, why is your firewood powdery and smells like gunpowder?
Well, that too, but it just doesn't make sense, because most of the time it was noblemen who would, like, keep an apartment for the short term, so you wouldn't need all that firewood if you're just, like, staying there in short bursts during Parliament.
Also, I would think it would be delivered. Like, not, you wouldn't bring it in yourself.
No. Doesn't make any sense. And so they were, like, checking out. And ironically, they had to use torches to see in there because there weren't any windows down there. And luckily, no one died.
Okay, good.
Rest of it. So
it seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, so they find Guy Fawkes, and he's like, yeah, I'm John Johnson. I'm never going to reveal anything. They're like, you will when you're tortured. As most people
torture
do.
Totally works.
Torture works unless you don't have any information, in which case you will make up fake information to stop being tortured. That's the
true.
Only problem with torture.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes. So I stretched him and did all sorts of heinous 1600s things. And he gave in. He named his co-conspirators. And then they're like, it's time for you guys to be hung, drawn, and quartered. They're trying to keep it pretty Renaissance, pretty like post-Enlightenment, and not rip people apart in front of folks. So they're hung, then drawn, then quartered. So you could leap from the gallows and just be hung, and then everything else is symbolic because you're already dead.
Okay.
So you don't have to literally...
So you're not going to hear freedom as someone is, like,
ripping
disemboweled.
You. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, generally not so much. So that's how all that shook out, and so King James kept on ruling, and he continued to be king, and thus the United Kingdom was basically born, the UK.
We have Snoots here in front of the microphone. I know she's been, like,
yeah.
The whole time. I don't know if I can... She might have just joined our team.
Yeah, Snoots, you have to come to my house.
She's not leaving the microphone. She's such a microphone fog.
I think it's because the food's near the microphone, but...
Oh, We digress. Well, the tablet is, but I moved the cookies, and she doesn't seem to care.
But yeah, so that's the story of that. And ultimately, I think, honestly, that the faith of the British Isles does affect who we turned into in America, because we left here for additional religious freedom, because we just couldn't get our act together, and who knows how it was. But yeah, so that was my Scottish story, and now Melissa has an activity to close us out.
Well, first, I'm going to shout out to Ardbeg. Go to their website and join the Ardbeg Committee, and that's their, like, little club. Have you joined it yet? All right, so before we went to Scotland, I, like, looked up all the where the places I knew we were going, and Ardbeg...
Classic you, and I just showed up.
I'm so prepared. I'm such a nerd.
You're so prepared.
Join the Ardbeg Committee. And honestly, they send you this little welcome pack, and it's like the best marketing on the planet. It's really cool. They send you the rules of the committee and notes on the committee, and their website's really cool. It's like tongue-in-cheek. It's got a little Monty Python to it, but so does the welcome pack. And honestly, it's free. They send you the little welcome pack. It's such a cool little souvenir. Susan, go home and sign up for the Ardbeg Committee.
Please remind me.
But it also gets you special committee bottlings. It gets you limited edition bottlings. And you get the newsletter, and they have, like, Ardbeg Day, and they play rugby, and they do all these, like, really fun activities. They had, like, a scotch that went out to, I think they flew it in space. I mean, I could be making this up, but
you
I'm pretty sure
still in the space capsule.
That they had a scotch that was, like, up on the, what's that thing in... Not
the space station?
Space station.
Yeah, ISS. All
right, so hopefully I didn't make that up, but I swear I remember it went into space somewhere.
Somehow.
They totally did that.
Even if someone just really threw it hard from a high-altitude plane, it's up there.
They built one of those, like, what are those things when you fling it up? Like
a slingshot?
A slingshot, like, but they're called something when they're really, really big.
Not a catapult.
Catapult.
Yes.
They catapulted it.
Yes.
Okay, so Susan, let's play a game.
Okay.
All right, so here's the idea. I'm going to give you a word, well, a name.
Yes.
And you're going to tell me if it's a Scottish distillery, if it's a Scottish castle, or if it's a Scottish mythical creature.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready? All right. I'm going to say them wrong also. So even if it is something you've heard before, you won't recognize
it. Oh, no. I may ask for spelling.
Okay. Balmenach. Is it a... castle, distillery, or mythical creature?
Castle.
Bzzzt.
Oh, no.
It's a distillery in Speyside. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready for the next
one? I'm ready.
Fachan. Is it a distillery, a castle, or a mythical creature?
I'm going mythical creature.
You got that.
Yay!
It's a Highland spirit with one leg and one hand standing from a ridge on its chest.
Are they on opposite sides? The arm and the leg, or are they on the same side?
I don't know.
Because I feel like it's got to be a lot easier if they're balanced out.
Yeah, I would hope that they could balance out. But, you know, if you're hopping, I guess it doesn't matter how many arms you have. You're like...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I didn't see a picture. It just tells me about it. Okay, are you ready for the next one?
Yes.
Altmore. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Altmore.
That's got to be a castle.
That's a distillery.
Why? The castle and the stills are really hard because they could totally have the same name.
It's another Speyside, and it's owned by Bacardi.
Oh, God, Bacardi's worldwide.
They are. Did you know that I think this Ardbeg, I didn't write it down, and I could be... I think it's owned by, like, Louis Vuitton.
What?
I'm pretty sure. I remember reading that. Yeah, it's owned by, like, this conglomerate that owns Louis Vuitton and, like, some other stuff.
Okay.
They're the ones who bought it. That's what I read. I'm going to go buy
it.
I'm going to blame someone else if I read the wrong thing.
Yeah, not your fault.
Okay, here's number four. Grogan.
That's got to be a castle. Damn it, something's a castle.
It's a mythical creature.
Ugh.
It's a Highland brownie who helped around the farms. You need one. You need a Grogan.
I would love a helpful farm animal. Yeah, not the chickens do anything I tell them to. The ducks are even worse.
Okay, here's the last one.
Yes.
Killarney.
If that's not a castle, I'm going to scream.
It's totally a castle.
Okay.
Okay, it's in Perthshire. And actually, it's a castle ruin. Killarney is a castle in Perthshire. Only the tower remains of a once much larger castle. So how many did you get right?
Like two?
I think it was one.
No, I got the last one.
You got the last one.
And I got the first mythical creature.
Oh, yes, you did. You got two.
Yeah,
good job, Susan.
Yay.
Yay.
I tried. Yay. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
As a thank you gift, whoever writes our first review on iTunes will receive a tablet flavor of our choosing.
No, they only have one flavor.
Okay, it will be this flavor.
I have
flavor.
To buy it at Marshall's. Okay. They only have Campbell's salted caramel scotch fudge.
Okay, we'll send you that if Marshall's has it.
Totally.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, Slanja.